The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Well, good morning again. It's good to see all of you here. Thank you for being a part of our worship service today. Last week we talked a little bit about the idea of continuing on, and something that has still stood out to me is this fellowship. And throughout the week, I've been talking to different people, and people have been talking about different things, and how God has brought such a unique group of people together. And what in the world is God doing with this unique group of people? I still believe that this church is one of the best kept secrets in all of Caddo Parish. And it's because of you. Because of, I was talking to the gentleman who was the police officer here last week at our Harvest Festival, and he was talking about how diverse our church was and how we have such a good age range of people that are involved in different things in our church. And it got me thinking about this group and how God has built this group of people up. And there's a very specific mission and a very specific calling that I think God has for our church. And he is putting all these pieces together and building us for something really good. Now, if you think about this, if you're going to go drag racing, do you want a Chevy half ton? Not really, right? You'd rather have, I don't know, a Camaro or a Corvette or something like that, right? That's going to be fast. It's built differently, right? And now, if I'm going to go out and I'm going to take some sticks out of my yard and I'm going to load them up, do I want to put that in a Firebird or a Camaro? No. No, I want a truck. There are different cars that are built for different jobs. I realized this when I was very young, and I say when I was very young, I was in ninth grade. In ninth grade, I know it's hard to believe, but I weighed a whole grand total of 110 pounds, soaking wet, and I was about 5'6" tall in ninth grade. And in ninth grade, they needed somebody to play nose tackle one day in football. Now, if you don't know what nose tackle is, that's the guy who lines up directly in front of the center. And I was dumb, and I was young, and I was like, yeah, coach, I'll do that. All 110 pounds of me will play nose tackle. And I volunteered to play nose tackle. And it was wonderful until the ball snapped. And the 250-pound lineman who snapped the ball came and just laid on top of me. He didn't even have to do anything. He just fell. And I was underneath all 250 pounds of him and realized people are built differently. This is not the same job. I don't need to play line. Put me over there with the receivers, that people who can kind of run. Like, that's what I'm built for. I'm not built to play line. And so as we think about that, I want to think about what you're built for. And you may be here today and you may say, listen, John, you don't understand. I can't be built for anything because. And you've got reasons and you're going to go through all your reasons. But what I want to encourage you with is that God has a design and a plan for you exactly how you are. And you are part of this fellowship because God has something unique that he wants to do in and through you. In Ephesians, Wednesday night we're in the book of Ephesians, and this goes ahead. We're not there yet, but in chapter 4, Paul says this, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Instead, speaking the truth in love, in verse number 15, he says, we will grow and to become in every respect a mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body is joined together and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. My encouragement for you, or my challenge for you today is this. The body of Christ needs you. You have a vital role that only you can play in the body of Christ. And so if you decide, hey, listen, you know what? I'm going to take this season off. I'm going to focus on other things right now. I'm not going to do my part. It's like a part of the body of Christ is taking the day off. It's like a part of the body of Christ is saying, hey, listen, I don't want to function anymore. Y'all ever have your leg fall asleep? Isn't that the most fun feeling in the world? Yeah. Anybody ever not know their legs asleep and then all of a sudden you go to put weight on that foot? that's an ER trip just waiting to happen, man. Like, I get out of bed sometimes, and Thomas has decided that his bed is not good anymore, and he likes our bed way better. And so at like 1:30 in the morning this morning, Thomas decided to get in there and post up like this, feet crossed, laid in our bed, which left about this much room for me. Well, I get up, and all of a sudden in the middle of the night, I'm done. I'm not doing this. I'm going to the couch. He can have the bed. Fantastic. I lose that battle. I did not realize that because of the way I was laying, my foot was asleep. And so I went to step on it, and it did not support me. And I just kind of stumbled down to the ground, didn't wake anybody up. The dog didn't even move, so I was apparently very stealthy with it. But that's what happens to the body of Christ when you and I decide, hey, listen, we're going to take the day off. I'm not going to serve. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to be involved. I'm not going to be a part. It's as if a limb, it's as if a part of the body of Christ has fallen asleep and refused to do the job that it's required or requested to do. And that's what Paul says is, listen, a mature body is a growing body. It's a body that's building each other up. The first thing I want to encourage you with is this, is that your desperation, God can turn into your praise. Sometimes we think, listen, I am barely keeping myself together. I have no business serving. I have no business working at church. I have no business being involved in what God's doing because I'm barely holding it together myself. Y'all ever feel like that? Feel like you're just too tired to do anything, too tired to serve, too tired to go to church, too tired to be involved, too tired to get involved, too tired to do whatever God's calling you to do. And you're like, listen, I'm doing good to make it out of bed this morning. Been there. Have those mornings still. And in that desperation where you and I are just barely trying to hang on, I think that the thing that you and I can do that will help us figure out what God wants to do in and through us is to praise. In Psalms, David says this in Psalms chapter 34, verses 1 through 6. I will praise you, or I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all those who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their face. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. This morning, you may be sitting here, and you may be saying, listen, I'm too desperate just for God to change my circumstances. I can't even wrap my head around serving or being involved or engaging with the body of Christ. I just need to make it through another day. And what is interesting is when you go back and you read that passage from David over and over and over again, David tells you, hey, listen, you got to praise. You got to tell the good things that God's doing. You got to focus on the good things that God's doing in your life. You got to continue to praise him even when you're desperate and you feel like you can't make it another day. Because in and through that, God's going to start to reveal to you what his plan is for your life. And so this morning, the first thing I just want to encourage you with is if you're here and you're saying, hey, listen, I'm at my wit's end. How in the world can I be any good to the body of Christ? Y'all's back ever get tired? Just feel like, hey man, I'm done. If your back gets tired and decides it's done, what happens? Everything falls apart, doesn't it? I mean, if all of a sudden my back just said, hey, I'm done, I would fall to the floor right here. Nothing would work because this, I'm told, I'm not a doctor, but I'm told that this is very key and crucial, right? This area here keeps everything together and functioning the way it should. And so if all of a sudden it decides it's tired and it's done and it can't go on anymore, it's just going to focus on being this part here, then nothing else is going to work right. But what's interesting is that it goes on even longer than you think it can. Y'all ever remember that feeling of, I just don't physically feel like I can go any further? Athletes have that, and what they say is there's another level, there's another gear that they can push through, and once you get over that hump, I'm told from people who run a lot, I don't know why you run unless you're being chased, but there are people who run a lot, and they tell me that when you push past that level of exhaustion, you push past that feeling, you find a different gear and you find a rejuvenating moment. And so this morning, if that's you and you're saying, hey, listen, I'm just trying to hang on. I can't figure out how to function or get involved or do anything with my walk with Christ. Hang on. Push through. And in that, you're going to find your purpose and you're going to find how you put things together. The second thing I want to encourage you with this morning is that your story can be turned into God's equipping you for a task that only you can do. Again, in Ephesians chapter 3, we read this on Wednesday night. Paul says this, God treated me with kindness. His power worked in me, and it became my job to spread the good news. I am the least important of all God's people. But God was kind and chose me to tell the Gentiles that because of Christ, there were our blessings that cannot be measured. When you think about Paul's story, I wonder if there weren't times in Paul's life. If you don't know Paul's story, Paul was half Jew, half Greek, or Roman. He was kind of a hybrid. I believe it was his dad's side that he was Jewish and his mom's side was Gentile or was a Roman. And so Paul was kind of a half-breed, and I doubt that kids then are very different from kids today. If somebody's different, if somebody's not the same, what's the very first thing little kids do? Point it out, right? You ever have that brutal honesty moment from your kids where they tell you, Dad, that shirt makes you look fat? Oh, thank you. Kids notice things are different. Kids pick things up. And not only that, but man, if you're good, listen, you want to hear just some crazy, walk by a playground. Kids are vicious. They're mean at times. I can't help but imagine that as Paul grew up, he was different from everybody else if he didn't get picked on a little bit for it. And if Paul didn't sit back at some point in time and say, God, why in the world did you make me like this? God, why did I have to have parents like this? Why did I have to be in this situation? God, why do I have to deal with this? Why does this have to be who I am? But it's interesting now that Paul's years and years and years later, he finds out that in that question, in the confusion, in the not understanding why God made him the way he was and his story turned out the way it did, that God was using that story for a job that only Paul could do. Paul was uniquely gifted and fit together by his story to take the gospel because he knew the good news. He knew how to interact with Jews, but he also knew how to interact with Romans. And because of those different things, Paul was able to take the gospel places that nobody else could take the gospel to and have the success that you have, that you see him have every time he went around. I believe for a lot of us, we wonder what in the world our story can mean. We wonder how our story can do any good. And we look at parts of our story and we look at different things that happened to us and we ask God, why? Why this part, God? God, why did you have to let me go through this? Why did this have to be a part of my story? Why is this who I am? That part of your story that you don't understand why is God's equipping you for what he wants, a job that only you can do. And all through the book, you find that Paul was, all through the scriptures, you find that Paul was a uniquely gifted person. Your past story can be used for a job that only God wants. Not just that, but your difficulties can be God shaping you for your service. Again, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Christ Jesus made me his prisoner so I could help you Gentiles. You've surely heard about God's gift of undeserved grace in choosing me to help you. We talked a little bit about this on Wednesday night. Paul is writing this from his Roman imprisonment. I think a lot of us have the tendency to shy away from difficulties, don't we? When something becomes... This was always my favorite thing growing up. I had a different kind of growing up. I was a pastor's kid. And so I thought about things that nobody else really thought about, partly because I was weird too. But I thought about things like, you know, what's God's will for my life? And I remember as like a ninth grader, as a tenth grader, asking that question about God, what's your will for my life? And trying to figure it out as a ninth and a tenth grader. And one of the pieces of advice that some gentleman gave me that probably meant to help, but probably was not the best piece of advice. He said, well, go until it gets hard. And if it gets hard, then God's not in it. And it created in me this mindset, especially when I was younger, that as long as everything was easy, that was God's will for my life. And what I found out as I got older is that's actually the exact opposite sometimes of what God wants to do. Sometimes the difficulties that we try to shy away from, that we want to go away from because things get hard, because it doesn't just pan out the way everything we want it to, we think that that's God closing a door, and really what it's God doing is asking you, lean into those difficulties, because these difficulties are how I'm shaping you to become who I want you to be. We talked about it on Wednesday night, and again, if you're not a part of our Wednesday night Bible study, I want to encourage you, man. Wednesday nights are some of the, it's Wednesday and Sunday, both great nights of the week here. We talked about how this building has 2x4s in it. And those 2x4s had to be cut to fit in place. And I'm sure if wood had feelings, I don't think it does, but if wood had feelings, it probably wouldn't kind of shy away from being cut. I would, if I was wood. Wood shook. No, that's a different thing. But in the process of that, it's put together. That cutting actually helps it form something more beautiful and more magnificent than it could ever be in and of its own. Sometimes you look at your story and you ask the question, God, why these difficulties? Why this thing? Why is this happening to me? That difficulty that God's using in your life to shape you for a service and a job that only you can do. Our tendency when things become difficult is to flee. God may be rounding off some rough parts so he can craft you into a position of service that he needs you in. This morning, church, I wonder if you realize that God's brought you this beautifully wonderful, unique fellowship together for a job of reaching not just, listen, I believe this with all my heart, I will die believing this. God wants to upset the world from Morrisville, Louisiana. You're part of what he's doing. And I get so excited when I come out and I look at you guys because I see how God has brought this unique group together. And I think about all the things that we could do with all of our different stories and all the different things, our backgrounds and how God has brought us to this point together. And it makes me get excited because what I see in that is God putting everything together. But there's some of you who are shying away from difficulties. You're not sure that you really want these difficulties to shape you, and you instead would rather flee, you'd rather run, you'd rather just give up, you'd rather quit. And my prayer, my beg, and my plea for you this morning is this. Don't. Lean into the difficulties. The things you don't understand, listen, it's okay to pray this prayer. God, I don't understand it. God, I don't like it. God, I don't understand and know what's going on. But God, I trust you. You know, and so my faith and my hope and my trust are in you. It's perfectly okay to pray that prayer, but to continue on in whatever God's calling you to do. The last thing is, sometimes your limitations can be turned into God's strategies. In the book of Judges, you find a left-handed judge named Ehud. The story goes like this. Again, Israel cried out to the Lord, and he gave them a deliverer, Ehud, a left-handed man, the son of Jerah, the Benjamite. The Israelites sent him with tribute to the king Eglon of Moab. Now Ehud made a double-edged sword about a cubit long, which he strapped to his right thigh under his clothing. Just to kind of catch you up on what goes on here, before you would go into the presence of the king, they would search you for weapons. Now the problem is, if I'm a right-handed person, then my weapon would be where? On my left side. So I could grab it and I could pull it out. So what they would search is, they wouldn't search the whole thing, they would search right here to see, do you have a weapon on you? Well, Ehud, because he's left-handed, straps his weapon to the other side. So he goes into the king's presence, he presents the tribute to the king, who was a very fat man. That's an interesting detail in scripture. There were fat people in the Bible too. After he had presented the tribute, he sent him on their way, those who carried the tribute with him. But reaching the stone images near Gilgal, he himself went back to Eglon and said, "Your Majesty, I have a secret message for you." He went on and he said, "The king said to his attendants, 'Leave us.' And they left. And Ehud approached him while he was sitting on the upper room in his palace and said, 'I have a message from God for you.' As the king rose from his seat, Ehud reached with his left hand, drew the sword from his right thigh, and plunged it into the king's belly. Even the handle sank in after the blade into his bowels, and his bowels discharged, and we're not going to get into the graphicness of it. But here's what happened. Because this left-handed guy was left-handed, he's the only one that was able to kill that king. See, we look at it, we say, well, that's a disability, that's a limitation, that's something that's not supposed to be like that. You have been crafted exactly how you are. Listen, you can say, well, you know, John, I can't walk. If I can't walk, then I can't go help, I can't serve. They're watching Tom and do stuff. Tom, man, you're lifting things that, like, Kyle last week, he tried to pick up a gooseneck trailer. I got under there and about died. And I just, like, looked at it. I didn't even try to pick it up. It'd be so easy to say, listen, I can't serve because I can't physically do what they can do. You realize that your limitations, man, you know, at least three times a year, we invite people to come to our church and sit in an office and call people. After our Easter egg hunt, after our harvest festival, before vacation Bible school, we try to go through a list of people and say, hey, listen, we want to invite you. We want to thank you for coming. We'd love to invite you back to our church at some point in time. Do you know what you have to be able to do? Everybody got one good finger? Everybody got a mouth that can talk? That's all you have. Listen, you need a script? We'll give you a script. You can't say my limitations are stopping me from serving, because God wants to use your limitations as a strategy to reach this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you something that gets me so excited? When I read this story and I think about these different things, there's a ministry that isn't even started yet. That somebody is sitting back and in their head, they've got these limitations, they've got this story, they've got these different rough edges that they're trying to figure out how they fit into this fellowship. And what they don't understand is that God has placed them here exactly how they are to start a ministry that's not even been thought of yet. God has brought people together with a uniqueness and a giftedness, and you see them as limitations, and God says, no, listen, that's a strategy. I'm going to use that to do something that no one has even thought of before. I bet Ehud thought time and time again, this stupid left-handedness, I'm not fit for service. I can't be in the army. I can't be one of the fighting men because I'm left-handed and it's seen as a disability. And God said, no, listen, that's exactly the strategy that I want to use to do something that nobody's ever heard of before. You're going to be somebody who delivers an entire nation based on what you see as a limitation. Listen, God can use anyone. And if you don't believe me, look at Ehud. If you don't believe me, look at me. Man, God can use all kinds of people for all kinds of things, and you have no clue what God is able to do. And so for you to say, God, I can't be used by you, I can't serve, I can't do this, I can't do that, is limiting God, who cannot be limited by us. This morning, there's a part that you and I get to play in reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This morning, my question for you is simple. What are you letting hold you back? What's keeping you from engaging in a relationship with God and journeying with Him and joining in with a fellowship that says, hey, listen, together we're going to reach Morningsport with the gospel. We're going to reach Caddo Parish with the gospel. And listen, you guys, again, I cannot tell you how excited I am about what I see when I look out at you. Because I see that God has brought all of us together with such uniqueness, with such gifting. With, listen, you don't understand all that God's put together, man. To look around this room and to see the different groups and the different faces and to know some of your stories and say, and you may sit there and you say, I don't understand how God can use me. I get excited because I see what God's doing. And I see that God's putting this group together to do some remarkable things. And my prayer is that you won't let your story, you won't let your limitations, and you won't let your difficulties define what God's able to do in your life. Instead, you'll step into it and follow God wherever He calls you. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for stories and people in Scripture who were flawed, who were not perfect. God, people in Scripture who had limitations. Father, they had difficulties. But in every single one of those things, Lord, I'm so thankful that we have the stories that prove time and time again, Lord, that you use imperfect people to do remarkable things in the world. God, I pray that as you've joined this fellowship together, Lord, that you would continue to open our eyes to the possibilities, to the ministries, to the service around us. God, as we would continue to see doors open, God, I pray that you would just continue to work in our hearts and our minds to do things never before seen as possible. But God, it would be to the honor and glory of you and you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.